This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So if you use Instacart, you're being asked to delete the app. This was according to a nonprofit gig workers collective, as there are long-standing pay and safety concerns. Beyond low pay, they released a letter with 5 points of interest. Specifically, what they want. They want to pay shoppers by order, not batch. If we shopped a single order, they write, the base pay would be $7. But if we shopped 3 orders at once, the base pay would be $7 for the lot. Reintroduce item commission, and nearly every order now pays $7 regardless of the size. A single 2-item order pays $7. A triple 50-item order pays $7. Reform the rating system, which unfairly punishes shoppers for issues outside their control. Provide occupational death benefits and raise the default tip to 10%, up from the current 5%. Now, Instacart has responded by saying, we've invested in countless new measures to support the health and safety of the shopper community. We take shopper feedback very seriously and remain committed to listening to and using that feedback to improve their experience. Now, according to this, I guess it's from Gig Workers Collective, they claim that, Instacart has not, in fact, taken their safety seriously. What's more, the letter says that the company has structured tips in an exploitative way. It lays out those 5 demands and asks for customers' support by deleting the app. But that defeats the purpose. If customers delete the app, then they're not going to be using the product, so you won't have a job. Not quite sure that's the best way to do it. But hey, good luck to the Instacart shoppers. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So I want to say rest in peace to George Holliday. George Holliday. Rest in peace, George. Now, you may say to yourself, well, who is George Holliday? Well, I'm going to tell you, okay? He is the plumber who recorded the video of Rodney King being beaten in 1991. So you can well understand why this is news. Now, it's sad. I don't want the guy to die. And, he died of complications of COVID. According to one report, he was in his 60s and unvaccinated. But, I mean, is it huge national news? Was he the hero, I guess? I mean, if it wasn't for him, if we hadn't seen the actual beating, a number of things probably wouldn't have happened post Rodney King beating. So rest in peace, George Holliday. Okay, so you know that no one supports bicycling more than me and more than Chewing the Fat. No one. I love bicyclists from no matter where you bicycle or cycle, I love you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And you know that I appreciate you riding in the roads and slowing down traffic, because we have to treat you just like any other vehicle on the road. You want to be treated that way. I gotcha. But now you want to have your cake and eat it too. So apparently in California, they are looking to pass a new bill, law, that would allow cyclists to come up to a stop sign and roll through it if there's no traffic. You could just get to come up, and if it's There's no traffic. You get to roll right through it. And it's called an Idaho stop. Wait, what? Yeah, they decelerate, but they don't fully stop before crossing stop sign intersections if there's no traffic. I mean, it's the best safety practice when approaching stop signs, and it still, of course, remains illegal in California, although many bicyclists, still do it, and they do it everywhere. I get a ticket in an automobile, and have, by the way, received tickets for rolling through a stop sign when there was no traffic. There were no cars. The last ticket I got for rolling through a four-way stop is because a car in front of me stopped completely, and there were no other cars in either direction, in all directions, okay, all three directions, no other cars. And that car went ahead. So I pulled up behind that car, not completely stopping at the stop sign and then going through the intersection. I got pulled over and given a ticket for that. And I said to the police officer, dude, you saw there's no traffic. I didn't come to a complete stop, but I was prepared to stop if there was another car there, but there was no other car because the car in front of me completely stopped and we all saw there was no traffic. Well, you got to stop. That's the law. Okay, so now the bicyclists want to be able to do that and have it be legal, but I'm supposed to treat them just like a regular automobile on the road, but they want to be able to just roll through stop signs? Well, yes, look, you're still going to have to stop if there's traffic, Jeff. It's not just giving the rights to bicyclists to go right through the intersection. I'm sure that many of the bicyclists believe that there are plenty of occasions where it's safer for them to just roll through that stop sign without coming to a complete stop. Because why? Oh, that's right. Because if you come to a complete stop, then you might not be seen by motorists. Wait. So you not coming to a complete stop just means that we'll see you and you'll be safer. Not following the rules of the road means that you'll be safer. Okay. All right. So the proposal gives the cyclists the freedom to use reasonable judgment and stop or yield at an intersection if there's no oncoming traffic, allowing them to maintain momentum. Well, I would like to say I want that law too. I want that law too. I want to be able to use reasonable judgment at a stop or yield sign when there's no oncoming traffic so that I can maintain my momentum in my vehicle as gas prices go through the roof and it costs more for me to accelerate from a dead stop at a stop sign when there's no traffic. And I think I want that right with red lights as well. All intersections. I want the right to use reasonable judgments to stop or yield, because I can't tell you how many mornings I have to stop at 4:30 a.m. in the morning with no traffic and a side road light turns red. It is insane for me to have to stop and other vehicles to have to stop at those red lights at 4:30 in the morning when there's no traffic. It's a waste of gas. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. The only thing it isn't a waste of is a city municipality enhancing revenue when the police pull you over for running a red light. And that's all it's there for. It jives me insane. And we have, may have touched on that subject before, but now the bicyclists in California want to be able to do that, and you know that it's coming to a state near you very, very soon. I can't take it. I'm not sure if this is a crime or not, but it is, a fascinating story. So in Florida, investigators are looking into the case of this transient woman who was found bound and naked inside a storm drain. All right, so right there you're thinking, whoa, man, is she okay? What happened? So a man was leaving a local Fort Myers restaurant, and he heard this woman's low-pitched calls for help. And he, goes over, and he looks and sees a woman inside a drain, at the parking lot, you know, where the water rolls into. And so he, I guess, couldn't lift the drain or didn't know what to do. So he called police and they show up and they see that her legs are bound with straps. Okay. So the fire department was called to remove the iron gate. So I guess nobody could remove this iron gate. We needed to get the fire department involved. So the guy couldn't lift the iron gate, couldn't get other people to help him. The police were like, nah, we're not lifting that. Sorry, you're all bound with straps down there in that sewage drain and that water drain, but we can't help you. So we're going to call the fire department. So the fire department comes and we finally find somebody that can remove the iron gate, and they pick it up and then they get the woman out of the drain. And the woman then is uncooperative. She refuses to offer any information about why she was in the drain, why she was bound with straps, anything. They realized that she had been staying at a nearby motel the month before, so they took her photo to the hotel, and the staff didn't recognize the woman, and they took the woman to the hospital to receive treatment, but we have no idea why she was in the drain, strapped, having her legs bound with straps in the drain. So I don't know if a crime was involved. I don't know why this lady is in the storm drain, but it's just a fascinating story, and it does make me miss living in Florida. And if I told you about a guy by the name of Kevion Hooks, who was arrested for armed robbery in which he took a backpack and the victim's prosthetic leg. So apparently he came up to the guy with a large metal spike and took the victim's backpack and also took his prosthetic leg. And he asked the victim how much the backpack was worth, how much the stuff in the backpack was worth, and how much the prosthetic leg was worth. Now the police apprehended him. When they found him, he had the victim's leg strapped to his head. So I guess that makes it easier to carry. If you strap it to your head, I don't know. Maybe there's, you know, something more wrong with Mr. Hooks than just the criminal element. But police say they took the leg off Hooks and gave it back to the victim. Isn't that special? I guess they kept the backpack for evidence. So instead of keeping the leg for evidence, they said, here you go. You can have your you can have your leg back. But if I told you that didn't happen in Florida, you'd say, no way, that's a Florida story. But it did. It happened in Oklahoma. It didn't happen in Florida. Sad, sad. Some of these stories are now breaking out of the state of Florida. I don't know what else to tell you. Sad. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Oh my gosh, that's so good. All right, as long as we're in the break room, remember you can follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can leave a message on the Fat Line, 214-735-9356. I get to those not as often as I would like. And if you are a subscriber to the show, make sure you leave a message. Or, I mean, you leave a review. You're going to leave a message. I don't know that Apple or Stitcher or Spotify let you leave a message, but if they do, leave one and tell them, hey, Chewing the Fat is the podcast to listen to. I see, speaking of Twitter, I see that they paid, or they're going to pay, they want to settle a lawsuit alleging, now they're just alleging that Jack Dorsey and others misled investors. Get out of here. They wouldn't do that. Well, they're going to go ahead and settle that class action for $809.5 million. Now, you say to yourself, well, there's admission right there. Well, no. The final settlement agreement will not include or constitute an admission, concession, or finding of any fault, liability, or wrongdoing by the company or any defendant. Oh, okay, so you're just going to pay the $809.5 million just to get rid of this case off the dockets, right? It hasn't been approved, by the court yet, although it probably will be. Did you know that right now Twitter has four, as of June, the end of June 2021, $4.13 billion in cash and equivalents, as well as short-term investments worth $4.48 billion. Oh, that's it though? Yeah. Twitter said it had average monetizable daily active users of 206 million, up from 199 million in the first quarter and up 11% over year to year. Wow. With international markets accounting for all of the growth, as the U.S. DAUs declined by a million. Wow. Going down. Yeah. Something to think about it. Now, the two people, the two plaintiffs in the securities fraud class action suit against Twitter were the National Elevator Industry Pension Fund, represented by Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd, and KBC Asset Management Nevada, or I'm sorry, I don't know that it's KBC Asset Management NV, represented by Motley Rice, LLC. So if that's it, the pension fund and the KBC Asset Management NV split up $809.5 million. That's not a bad payday, although this original lawsuit was filed in 2016. So it's been, you know, hanging around for a few years. Apparently, Dorsey and others, including former CEO Dick Costolo and board member Evan Williams, hid facts about Twitter's slowing user growth while they sold their personal stock holdings for hundreds of millions of dollars in insider profits. But remember, them settling this case does not include or constitute an admission, concession, or finding of any fault, liability, or wrongdoing by the company or any defendant. So don't think they're guilty. Just think they're paying this $809.5 million to get this nasty little bug off the table. So I see where the Emmys, we talked about the winners and the losers yesterday on Chewing the Fat, but I see their ratings went up a little. They've got to be kind of happy about that. It's still, I mean, I know that they increased by 16%, but 7.4 million viewers really isn't that good. But last year, I mean, they had 6.4 million. I mean, it felt like nobody. So this year they had, you know, a million more. And that doesn't count the streaming. That's just CBS. So in 2018, the Emmys were on NBC, and that brought in 10.2 million. And then in 2019, it was 6.9. So it went from 10.2 to 6.9 to 6.4, and then we're back up to 7.4. I will say that that's good. It means that, you know, more people are watching the shows that are being honored or trying to win awards on the Emmys than they are at the Academy Awards. I know we still want people to go to the theaters, but it's not going to happen. Okay, these people are creating great content and people have been watching it. And this content is really, really good. I'm very, you know, I love this, the content that they're providing. But also, I want you to know that the show set a record for diversity, which I know you cared about, and I did, of course. They had 49 Black or Indigenous people of color nominated across all categories. However, the bad news is the main wins were received by mainly white entertainers. You bastards. I see where Harvey Weinstein, you know him, you love him, again pleaded not guilty to 11 counts of rape and sexual assault yesterday in L.A. His defense attorney complained that prosecutors are training a water cannon of uncharged allegations at him. Now, he pleaded not guilty to the same charges in July, shortly after being extradited to Los Angeles from New York, but prosecutors have brought a new indictment against him. They brought it in August, and they want to try to salvage a charge that had been dismissed on statute of limitations. So oath. He was again wheeled into court wearing a brown jail jumpsuit and a mask below his nose. He spoke briefly, agreeing to waive trial deadlines, and the trial's not even expected to start until next spring at the earliest. Why did we need to get him to LA from New York? I don't know. He's struggling. He's got, they're saying that it's akin to solitary confinement because he's held away. He's at the Twin Towers jail in downtown LA. So we'll see. I mean, he may not even live to see this trial even come to fruition, but there you have it. He pleaded not guilty and he's still in jail. So don't worry about it. The prosecution also rested its case against R. Kelly in the sex crimes and racketeering trial. Now, that's the prosecution. They rested their case. It's been 5 weeks since that case started, and now we have the defense that's going to start their case and present their witnesses. So no telling on how long that's going to go on, but we'll see how that unfolds. Not to worry, R. Kelly is still in jail. He was moved from the Chicago Metropolitan Correctional Center to a Brooklyn detention center ahead of this trial. So you can rest assured he's being kept in jail. He's not out on the streets. We don't want that to happen. And you know who are out on the street? The McCloskeys. Yeah, Mark and Patricia McCloskey, remember them? They confronted a group of mostly black protesters who entered their gated community en route to demonstrate in front of their nearby home of the former St. Louis mayor. Remember when they brought out their weapons and we thought it was all said and done and over? Yeah. No, I know that they went ahead and pleaded guilty, and they cut a deal for, well, Mark pleaded guilty to misdemeanor fourth degree assault. He paid a $750 fine. Patricia pleaded guilty to the same date to misdemeanor harassment and was ordered to pay a $2,000 fine. Mark is now running for U.S. Senate, which, you know, may have something to do with this. But the governor pardoned them, both of them, in July. But according to this guy who is going after them, Pretzel, I know it's not Pretzel, it's Pratzel, Alan D. Pratzel, P-R-A-T-Z-E-L, he cited the couple's guilty pleas to misdemeanors stemming from the incident. He wants them to be suspended from practicing law. He wants their law license. Huh. Wonder if it has anything to do with him running for Senate in the state. Anyway, it just shows, he claims, that their indifference to public safety and involved moral turpitude warranting discipline of the pair. Wait, the governor pardoned them. Yeah, well, so what? Just because he pardoned them, according to Pretzel, he claims that the pardon erases a person's conviction, not the person's... I want to quote him. That while a pardon erases a person's conviction, the person's guilt remains. Does it, Pretzel?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk a little bit about book banning. Yes, book banning. I know that it's not a big topic here on Chewing the Fat, but it has been a big topic around the country, in particular in Pennsylvania, where they're banning books. And one of the authors is Brad Meltzer, who had a book of his banned in Pennsylvania. Brad, welcome to Chewing the Fat. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Good to be back. And I will tell you, in the time since you and I planned this, and in fact, in the last hour or so, I found out that not only did they ban one of our books, they banned two of our books.
Oh my gosh.
Which is unbelievable to me.
So, and I say banned, and I hate to, you know, I don't want to break.
Let's talk about what they mean, bog
you down with facts, but you know, it's just frozen.
So let's talk about it. So the school board says we didn't ban anything. We just froze these books because we want to be able to go through these lists of resources, which sounds like a very fair thing to do. And
it does sound like a fair thing to do.
You do not give books to kids without going through them first and making sure these are the appropriate books. The problem arises is the freeze started last October, and it's been now 11 and a half months of quote unquote freezing these books. So I'll give you a little time. And you know what? It's not like these are all novels that are 500 pages. These are kids' books. The majority of them are kids' books. You know, they're Malala's autobiography. There's the book about Hidden Figures, The Women Who Helped NASA. There's, you know, books by Sonia Sotomayor or and I think truthfully, you should be, there are some things on here. There are some things you may want to look at twice and say, what's that book? I don't know that book. But the majority of these books, are pretty basic, obvious books. There's a Sesame Street book on how to talk to your kids about racism. It's Sesame Street, right? It's not a culture war. It's not critical race theory. It's just basic stuff. And I think where they messed up is they took a year to do it. And when you take a year where you have your librarians don't know if they can order it and you have teachers going, am I going to be in trouble if I talk about it? Now you've got a problem. And that's why we're calling it a ban, is because they took a year. So if you freeze it for a year, guess what? You got a problem.
It's a ban. And also the problem, it looks as though, although they deny it again, that it was based a lot on race, right? I mean, most all the books were either about people of color or written by people of color.
And listen,
they say that's a coincidence. Maybe
right. I mean, and that's my thing. My thing is I don't ever try to presume what's in someone's heart. Okay. I don't want to look at someone and shout, you're a racist, you're a horrible person. That's just not productive. And you know, it's just stupidity and optics here. Is you have an all-white school board who basically, as you said, takes this list where just about every single book on there is by someone who's a person of color or is written about a person of color.
Right.
And, you know, you do the math, right? It's not, and it's just a bad look. Again, just anyone who would advise any of these people, like, listen, take your time, look at the books, make sure we have good books for our kids. The reason why you and I are talking right now, and this gives the best example of all, is truthfully, they picked the wrong book. They picked our book on Rosa Parks.
Hello.
And they picked our book on Martin Luther King Jr. I am Rosa Parks. I am Martin Luther King Jr. And the reason why we're talking is because that made national news. Not because I wrote something that was so great or anything else, but it's a children's book about Rosa Parks.
Right.
It's the one person where everyone knows. It's not an agenda book. It's not like some high school book that's talking about, like, you know, it doesn't rewrite history. It's a book that has been out for, 7 years now. If you go on Amazon, it's literally listed as a teacher's pick. It's read all over the country. People know the book as being like a basic story for little kids, 4 to 10 years old, to teach them who Rosa Parks is. And that's on the list. And now everyone goes, you messed up. Like, I was on CNN and Fox News, right? Within 24 hours of each other. When those two networks agree on something, you screwed up.
It's a problem.
You got a problem.
I guess we're okay with, and I don't want to, it's not banning, it's just age appropriate, right? We say, you know, we have certain books that are age appropriate, or documentaries or online resources that are all age appropriate. But when you start taking things away, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Now you're limiting education.
Right. And it's one. And again, we all have our opinions on what's too much and what's not enough. But I don't think there's anyone on the planet that with a right mind says, you know who we should ban? Rosa Parks. You know who we should ban? Dr. King. Those are the troublemakers. And again, it's not like we're talking about the controversial figures here. Right. And listen, race is a hard subject. I'll be the first to say it. It's a hard subject. I mean, when I did our Rosa Parks book, I went for help. You know, I was like, I need help here. I had John Lewis, you know, literally Representative John Lewis read our Rosa Parks book and liked it so much that he agreed to be our advisor and read an early draft of the I Am Martin Luther King Jr. book. We work really hard to make sure we're doing it correctly, being fair, showing exactly what happened in a way that's age appropriate with like advisors to advise us on, you know, how can kids understand race or not? You know, when we do our PBS TV show that's based on the books, we have, I couldn't tell you how many countless advisors that are in there making sure we're doing it in a way that it won't be objectionable, it's not political. You know, and this whole book series was designed to teach kindness and compassion and empathy and talk right. about hard subjects with
I
kids.
I mean, you started it so your kids would have heroes. That's so incredible.
Right. And if you're not, but my point is race is hard. It's all hard, but nothing good comes from not talking about hard subjects. That's why we wrote the book. So you can teach your kids how to deal, give them heroes to deal with, you know, issues of race, issues of being different, issues of what it's like when you're being bullied. You know, we do in the Abraham Lincoln book, we try and give kids these great lessons. And you have a school board in York, Pennsylvania, who just is like sitting on these books for a year, you know, and they know what they're doing. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing.
So since this has become big news, have you or any of your people heard of other school districts around the country that have been kind of doing the same thing?
And you know, it's a good question. You know, it's a good question. The sad part is, you know, so two things. One, the one thing we've heard is how many people are fighting back. If you go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page or Instagram or anywhere else, you know, we basically found two women who were working as like kind of covert librarians who are making sure that, and again, not to just buy I Am Rosa Parks or I Am Martin Luther King Jr., but all the books on the list, you can pick out your books, you can go on their list, and they're going to put them in libraries across the county so that kids can see these books. Because they're really sweet books. They're sweet books about these issues. You know, you want your kid to have Sesame Street. You want your kid to have Malala. These are basic, you know, bread and butter.
Yes.
But to answer your question as to, you know, so that's the first thing that we've had pushback to, which is good. But as for other places, you know, I just want to be honest about it. Like, I fear that we're going to see more of these arguments.
And
the reason we're going to see it is because critical race theory has become the new boogeyman. It's the new thing to rile us all up as a wedge issue and make us all hate each other. And it's like, remember when Tipper Gore was rounding up all the records and being like, it's going to, you know, rap music's going to rot our minds. And
I wish I was old enough to remember that, Brad.
Right.
But what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm saying, but you look back, right? I look back at those. I just saw like some images of it when they said that, you know, rap music was going to rot our kids' brains.
Right.
And you look at it and you go like, wow, that was like such an of the moment thing. That was such a bad call. Right. And I think, listen, critical race theory, when you look at where it comes from like, you know, the high levels of academia, have you talked to any teachers? Have you, especially elementary school teachers? They're not interested in indoctrinating people. They just want to teach their kids how to share. They want to teach their kids kindness. And you know what? If you're not teaching race and issues of race to your kids, you're doing them a disservice. And it doesn't mean you badmouth the country. I agree with that. It doesn't mean you have to like undo like who we are as a culture. But if you just show how everything's great in America, nothing's ever been bad, that's not history. That's propaganda. And if you just show that everything is all about race and everything's all about, like, again, you'll have the other side. But like, we got to get out of this extreme back and forth, because what I've seen happen is, you know, you have the conservative side is like, critical race theory, we got to be done with it. And then you see the liberals go, what are you talking about? Usually, aren't you the ones who always complain about cancel culture? And then the conservatives say, you're the ones who are cancel culture. And it goes back and forth. And what we lose sight of is we lose sight of common sense. And that's where we wind up banning Rosa Parks and banning Dr. King. Because you got everyone all ginned up. You got teachers worried, can I use this book or not? Am I going to get in trouble? And they're going to label it critical race theory, even though it's just a regular book on race. You have people on the conservative side all ginned up and all worried, oh my gosh, they're indoctrinating my children. So everyone thinks everyone's going to kill them. And you know what it reminds me of? There's this great program I love that's in Israel. And it's this program where they take a bunch of Israeli kids and a bunch of Palestinian kids and they put them in camp together, summer camp.
Okay.
And they just put them together. They don't know each other. They're from opposite sides of the territory. And on the first night, one of the heads said that nobody goes to sleep. No one sleeps at all the first night because they're all worried that the other side is going to kill the other side. All the Jews think that the Palestinians are going to kill them. All the Palestinians think that the Jewish kids are going to kill them. And then, of course, what happens is the moment they find their common ground, they're kids and they play. And they play ball and they play baseball and they play whatever else is being played there. And it's just human beings. And right now, my long-winded way of saying, we're so at edge about this issue of race that all we're doing is finger-pointing, and we got to grab a little bit more common sense and middle ground.
Amen. So are we going to grab some common sense and middle ground in Pennsylvania, or are we still at war?
You know, I will tell you, I don't hate on people like that. I feel heartbroken for what's happened in Pennsylvania. I heard through the grapevine that there's another meeting that hopefully is coming up any moment now. My hope is that they're going to be shamed into realizing maybe we should probably let some of these books go through so kids can have the books that are pretty basic and obvious. Pull the ones you think you got to look at twice. But I looked at the list. I mean, you know, there's books like I Am Enough. It's like a book about empathy. That's literally right. What it is. Right. I mean, it's a book about teaching empathy to your kids. Like, if you're not doing that, you're doing it wrong. If you're not giving them Rosa Parks, you're doing them wrong. It doesn't have to even be our book. Like, these are basic lessons for American kids to learn. And I hope that they find the common ground. I really do.
I hope so, too. I hope that we hear from Central York School District that they have come to their senses and actually have some common sense. Brad Meltzer, you can get anything you want from Brad Meltzer at bradmeltzer.com. Like my favorite saying at bradmeltzer.com is, we are all ordinary. We are all boring. We are all spectacular. We are all shy. We are all bold. We are all heroes. We are all helpless. It just depends on the day. And I love that because I realize every time I read that my days of the spectacular and the hero days are a lot less than the others.
Yeah. And listen, and now, and for all of us, right? That doesn't make you bad. It makes you human.
Brad, I thank you very much, my friend. Please keep us informed and let us know if there's anything else we can do.
No, but thanks for doing what you do. And I encourage everyone, go to our Facebook page, our social media pages. There's a link on there. And buy some of the books on the list. You'll know which ones you like. Pick out the ones you like. You'll see famous people that you know on it. Buy their books. If you want to buy ours, great. But the whole list is spectacular. And that's how you know, those books will go out into the community in York, Pennsylvania. To me, that's how we fight back.
And we really should go out. You know, I am just so amazed at people that don't want, you know, that talk about banning things. I mean, that's just incredible to me. Banning isn't the way to the future.
No, listen, if you're banning books, you're on the wrong side of history.
No kidding.
That's it.
Thanks, Brad. I'll talk to you later, my friend. I appreciate it. So I talked to Brad yesterday afternoon about this. After we spoke, he found out that there was going to be a school board meeting that was virtual, obviously, and that it was a public meeting and that he was going to be involved in it. And he, of course, showed up and read his books. And then we find out that the Central York School District unanimously voted to reinstate the 4-page of diversity resources banned last year. Duh, I'm glad that they finally, you know, came to their senses. So they reinstated the full list of books, and Brad communicated on his Facebook page that the York community was so inspiring, and they told stories of why talking about race is so vital. And I know that I wanted to talk to Brad and get his today feelings on what happened, and he's traveling. So bless his heart, he's on the road, and apparently there's no phone service where he's traveling. So all I know is that the York School District, the Central York School District, heard that Brad had recorded an interview with Chewing the Fat, and they did not want it to air without already acting on their ban by reinstating the full list of books. So the York community has their books back and the ban is over, but it's still a little shady. Maybe we get rid of the school board. Just a thought on my part. That could still happen, by the way. Anyway, thanks to Brad Meltzer. And of course, you can get any information on Brad by going to bradmeltzer.com. So I see it's almost time for Fat Bear Week to begin. If you're listening live to this broadcast today, it is the 21st of September, 2021, and Fat Bear Week is the 29th. It starts the September 29th through October 5th, and we'll have fun going through the bears and who wins, and everyone can vote and how you can vote. And that's from the Katmai National Forest up in Alaska, and I'll try to reach out and talk to one of the rangers there like we do every year about Fat Bear Week. But they've added this year the Fat Bear Week Junior, which comes up the 23rd and the 24th, so just a couple of days from now, where you're going to be able to vote. And they want to add a junior bear to, you know, who wins the fattest junior bear then gets to go on to the Fat Bear Week polls. And, you know, it's going to be the first few votes probably will be the cuteness of the cute little fat bear is going to win. But no, we better not have any pity votes for the little cuteness of the fat bear. We want, this is supposed to be for fat bears, not for little baby fat bears. Okay. So we have to definitely talk to Katmai about that. I hope they realize that they could end up with a pity winner and have the Fat Bear Junior win. And so I hope we've found a way around that. did you see where a bunch of penguins got killed by a swarm of bees in South Africa? I know. I thought that, wow, Mother Nature taking care of a little business. Saying no. Maybe you're caring for the penguins a little bit too much, humans. They need to be gone. So 63 birds found dead because the bees, the bees know. So a post-mortem revealed that all the penguins had multiple bee stings. Oh, wow. They had stings in their eyes and on their wings. It was ugly. And one of the pictures showed the penguins on the beach. It's kind of sad, actually, thinking that they were all attacked by bees. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be killed by a swarm of bees. But according to this, honeybees die after stinging, and many dead bees were found at the site where the birds had died. So they're being tested for other toxicity possibilities and diseases. So, yeah, the bunch of bee stings all over the penguins couldn't be the cause of death. It had to be. And then what caused it? Maybe the penguins were sick with some other disease and the bees were like, hey, we're doing you a favor. We're going to put you down, okay? And I know they're complaining. Look, Mother Nature, that's the way it works. I see a big story about koalas going extinct in Australia. So, I mean, I love them. They're cute little things. They're all, we got them in zoos. That's what we have zoos for. But there's new data shows wild koala numbers have plunged 30% in 3 years. Okay, well, quit trying to save them. Maybe they'll grow back. And they're blaming it, of course, land clearing, bushfires, dogs, disease. Yeah, that's called Mother Nature. And I know that, we want to have the big Koala Protection Act. Okay, have the Koala Protection Act. Are people sitting down to koala dinner in Australia? I don't think so. So, I mean, we're not eating them yet. But, I mean, the numbers have dropped quite a bit in Australia. There's no question. So they're going away. So be ready to lose koalas in Australia if you, if you care. I know they're cute. Shut up. Speaking of animals, I see the monkeys are on tour. I know you think, wait, the monkeys? Yeah, the monkeys are on tour. They're in Texas this month. And I don't know if it'd be worth seeing or not. It'd be a fun kind of thing, I guess. But, you know, that's about it. And I see the Eagles are on tour. They're here in this neck of the woods this week today. I believe tonight they're in Dallas. It'd be a fun show to go and see. Although, you know, I don't even know if Michael's going to be there, right? He's been sick. They had to cancel some shows. He's probably back now. And I saw a big complaint about Phil Collins. Genesis is on their farewell tour, and they're saying Phil looked frail and he sat in a chair the whole show. Well, yeah. I mean, he barely went to practices, right? He's been fighting with the ex over the house in Florida, and he's doing this, and he was just saying, look, this is it, okay? He's 70 now. He said he can't barely, his arthritis is so bad, his fingers are all screwed up for, you know, drumming for so many years, and I guess doing it wrong. Yeah, he did it wrong. He's Phil Collins. Oh, my gosh. He didn't do it properly, didn't he? Okay. Tell me about that proper way again. So he's not the only one. One of the other, Rutherford, sat on a stool off and on through the show. Yeah, these guys, I mean, hello. They're like 100. Phil's only 70, Jeff. I know. But you got the Stones going on tour here pretty soon. And I don't know if the Stones, you know, they don't sit down, and Mick, you know, is usually dancing around on stage, but we lost one of them not too long ago. So these are their final tours, okay? So if you have an opportunity to see them, now would be the time. There's no question about that. It'd be good to see. I mean, it'd be fun to see Genesis too, but I don't know. You want to see these old guys? I mean, I'm willing to watch it on YouTube, I guess, but to pay and go see them live? Eesh, I don't know. I don't know. Plus, during the COVID world, that really is, I don't know. I mean, you have to be vaccinated and you've got to be probed and wiped down before you go to these shows. You know, remember back in the good old days when you could just show up and spread your germs at these shows everywhere? You don't get those days back. I saw where a restaurant, and I don't know that I agree with the restaurant owner, but it's his place and he can do what he wants. But, and it's here in Texas, of course. The owner is defending his no masks allowed policy after asking a couple to leave when they refused to take their masks off while inside. So a couple shows up at this bar and they put their mask on and they were asked, hey, we don't allow people to wear masks here. We don't want people to wear masks here. And so they're saying, hey, we're fully vaccinated. We want to put our masks on. We have a 4-month-old son at home. I guess the kid was at home. I don't think the kid was with them, who is immunocompromised. And we just wanted to, come out. And the manager's like, yeah, no, you got to take your mask off or you're not allowed here. So if you're going to put your mask on, get out. And the owner says, look, I spent my money on this business. I put my blood, sweat, and tears. I don't want any masks in here. Now, he thinks that the reaction with the mask is ridiculous in the United States right now. I tend to agree with that. However, really, the argument isn't not wearing masks or wearing masks. The argument is being forced to wear masks. So if he has a no mask policy and you want to wear a mask, let him wear a mask. That's the whole point of the whole thing. The thing isn't we don't want to wear a mask ever. Well, I mean, kind of is. But if you're going to make a rule, make the rule your choice. We prefer you wear masks, but if you don't, so be it. Or we prefer you don't wear masks, but if you do, so be it. I mean, it seems a little much to kick people out for wearing a mask or to kick people out for not wearing a mask. It just seems a little much. Maybe it's just me. So I hear that we had what appeared to be a meteor explosion this weekend or Friday morning, this past Friday morning, over the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. Flashes seen, loud boom, ground shaking. apparently people saw a bright silver light pass across the sky. One listener to Chewing the Fat contacted me and said that they were about 25 miles from where it happened. Nobody has contacted her, so I don't know how deep of an investigation is going on, but this listener claimed that there's big booms and explosions that happened, and she didn't think much of it because it happens often in West Virginia. I guess farmers are busy, you know, blowing up stuff in West Virginia, so she didn't think much of it. Okay, you know, if you say so. I guess NASA is currently investigating the incident. Yeah, you'd think that NASA would be investigating the incident because maybe that would be something that they would, you know, like to know about. I would say that I would like them to know about it before it strikes the Earth. But I know, in the words from the documentary Armageddon, it's a big-ass sky. I got it. We also, this weekend, had a plane crash in Texas, in Fort Worth, or Lake Worth, not far from here, not far from where I live. The plane just, you know, decided that it was going to crash. Nice. It was a training jet, so two people, the instructor and a student, ejected from the aircraft, and they apparently were the only ones that were pretty hurt. One of the pilots landed on some power lines and got kind of burned a little bit, and the other one landed in some trees and, you know, hurt himself as they flew back to Earth, or, you know, at least, you know, glided back to Earth as soft as possible. But no one was seriously injured in the neighborhood. Pretty remarkable. And it talked about how the military at the Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base in Fort Worth were prepared for it. They had nothing like that had happened before, but they were always prepared for the possibility of something like this happening, where one of their planes would crash into a neighborhood that they fly over frequently. Planes fly over my house all the time, and some days they're pretty freaking low, and I think about it a lot, because I'm telling you, and when I drive to the studios from my house, I, you know, drive past DFW, Dallas Fort Worth International Airport, and over the one interstate most of the time, depending on where the winds are coming from, they land coming in over this interstate that I travel on. And some days, I mean, they get them rowed up. We've talked about it before. They row them up. You look up in the sky and there's three landing strips that they've got planes rowed up and backed up in the skies, two and three deep, and they're just coming in and they're crossing that interstate. And, you know, it's been a while since one has crashed there, knock on, you know, some kind of wood. But I think about it a lot, thinking that what would you do if it happened, you know, around you, in front of you? Because if it lands on you, you're not doing anything, right? I mean, it's over. Have a nice day. But if it's in the vicinity, you have to act. You have to do something. You have to help people, right? Or do you just, man, get out the phone and start filming? That's what you do. You get out the phone and start filming, and now you've got some footage. Then it's all. Then you help. Or you post the pictures so you make some money from them. No, you help. You help. That's it.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.